gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the electronic voting machine of free speech. Well, it's electronic, and the only difference is it's actually fair here, and we do have free speech, but keep it going. It's you keep it going by going to republicbroadcasting.org, clicking on the donate button, sending badly needed funds. And back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Patrick. I think this is probably the most syndicated show in the independent media, because, of course, we've got Republic Broadcasting Network carrying it. We've also got RentsRadio.com carrying it, SpeakFreeRadio.com, and EurofolkRadio.com. So thank you to all of those stations for carrying this show. So let's bring Mark in. Mark, today's the Dankoff Report. It's Election Day USA. Please take us through what you have for us today. Over to you.
Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you on Election Day 2022. Here is the roadmap for today. We have the November 4th roadmap of my show with Patrick on Friday. That's up there on the board. And now we get into the big stories, analysis and predictions of what's going to happen today. We'll see how correct these various people are. Red Wave on the Sunset. That's by Clarice Feldman for American Thinker. She says that it really does look like there will be a red tsunami at the polls, even accounting for the Democrats' well-known election tricks. Real Clear Politics' latest projections on Saturday are that the Republicans will take 228 seats in the House of Representatives, 54 seats in the Senate. She emphasizes that they have a real majority, considering the Stalinist-type lockstep voting of their opponents and the perfidy and stupidity of senators like Romney and Murkowski and Collins. They will need more than 51 seats to have an effective voting majority. Feldman says that the wave is not confined to federal posts. At the state levels, the coming shift seems apparent. Real Clear Politics projects Republicans will take 31 governorships. This is at odds with some of the more establishment figures that I have consulted from a variety of different sources. But keep all of that in mind. Some of the best information in this article quotes Fox host Jesse Waters on the basis of analyzing 2016. Waters says that he has here the most accurate and inaccurate list of polls in the last election. Their worst polls were Quinnipiac, CNN, LA Times, Washington Post, ABC, and Monmouth, along with the New York Times. The most accurate, according to Jesse Walters of Fox, Atlas Intel, Trafalgar, Insider Advantage, Harrison, and Rasmussen. So he take all of this with that in mind, folks, as we go through some of these analyses very, very quickly. In that particular piece that was done by Clarice Feldman for American Thinker, she quotes Michael Barone. We went to Barone at Rasmussen. He says it looks like the Republican wave is coming in. We'll see how this plays out. Take a look at what Barone says about this with the link that we will have up there for you to take a look at in the show description. Quinnipiac University, nonetheless, I did consult their poll. Republicans supposedly have the edge and enthusiasm to vote, says Quinnipiac. Concerns about inflation rise heading into the midterms. I won't quote all of what they say in this article, but I'm going to come back to that before I turn it over to Patrick for some commentary. Here's an interview I want people to pay attention to. This interview was published on Monday at CNN. Kevin McCarthy, assuming that he does become the House Majority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, previews...
By the way, are we assuming he becomes Majority Leader or Speaker of the House?
That's an excellent, I think, Speaker of the House. Yeah. I stand corrected on that. Thank you. He has plans for the majority, starting at the border. Now, what is interesting about this particular analysis, I'll come back to it right toward the end of my commentary, but take a look at what is said in this interview that Kevin McCarthy has given to CNN, because in this particular case, you see that what he is talking about here suggests that there is going to be a struggle within the Republican Party between its establishment wing and the more Trump-oriented people on a series of issues. And obviously, I think one of those issues is going to be Ukraine. When you start looking at some of these other things, The Economist has its own way in as to what may happen today. Republicans currently hold most of this year's seats in terms of those that are up for grabs, some 35 of them, giving the Democrats an advantage, says Economist. Still, to keep the majority, the Democrats have to hang on to seats in places like Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada, or they have to pick up seats in states such as Ohio, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. You could throw Wisconsin into the mix as well particular look at who has to hold and who has to take what. Politico says that it has a list of the states that will determine the Senate majority, and this list remains stubbornly close, according to their analysis. The Economist says that the Republicans are likely to gain a majority in the House. They don't necessarily say that about the Senate, and this is at odds somewhat with what we're hearing from Clarice Feldman for American Thinker and what Michael Barone seems to be leaning toward at Rasmussen. So keep in mind the different biases of these polls and analyses that are coming before you this morning. We will see, not necessarily by the end of tonight, Tuesday night, who has won and who has lost, because there are certain key states, folks, especially in the Senate, where we are likely to have people counting votes for a number of days. Does that sound like the 2020 presidential election? Does that sound like an opportunity for chicanery on the part of the part of the Democratic Party? It certainly should. And we need to keep an eye on what those states are, who these people are, and to take a look at where mail-in ballots and where early voting may cause problems in terms of final vote counts. Now, The Economist says that the road to Senate control may run through Pennsylvania. We'll take a look at Pennsylvania here just briefly. When you look at Pennsylvania, I think there's a lot going on there. Don Wassel, our good friend Don Wassel at American Freedom News and at the Freedom Times, has a series of online stories that have been up there for quite a number of days ago, asking us to take a look at Pennsylvania. He has one post up there that is also at Lou Rockwell. Pennsylvania Supreme Court orders undated, wrongly dated ballots not to be counted. That would favor the Republican Party, certainly. Nonetheless, we read at Zero Hedge, and I believe Don Scott got that up there too, I think, at American Freedom News. Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge says that after sending out 240,000 unverified ballots, Pennsylvania now warns of delays, quote-unquote, counting midterm votes. Elections integrity storm brewing in Pennsylvania. That's Natalia Mittelstadt exclusively, I believe, for Don Wassel's American Freedom News. And then CNN has an interesting analysis of Florida. Florida's made a right turn since 2020. These four factors explain the change. Take a look at that one at CNN Politics. There are a series of stories I won't get into now that will be up there in our show description. Andy and I will have a shot at looking at these later in the week. And in this particular case, all of these have a bearing on this election. I'm going to skip over all of these, except I'm going to mention one, because this has always been a particular interest for Dr. Slattery. Clarice Feldman, again, appears at the American Thinker. This time she has a post entitled, "What's Behind the Seth Rich Cover-Up?" That is something that, folks, has plagued us since the summer before the presidential election. Of the particular year in which Seth Rich was murdered. And in this particular case, it also gets into chicanery that has never been explained in regard to counting of votes, in regard to the way in which votes are counted, and in regard to the way that certain people die under mysterious circumstances where the establishment explanation simply does not make sense. In each and every case, it seems to have involved people connected with the Clintons and the Clinton wing of the Democratic Party. The Seth Rich cover-up that Clarice Feldman talks about here, we can go back to something that many voters, younger voters of today, know nothing about. The crash of Ron Brown's aircraft. Take a look at what Jack Caschino has to say about Ron Brown's body in a major book that is well worth your reading. And also, of course, there is the Vince Foster case, which, to my mind, has absolutely never been solved. Two other things I will mention. Fascism is alive and well in this country. If you were watching NFL football yesterday, they had an Army lieutenant general on who was using the opportunity in the game between the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills to try and recruit youngsters to go into the military and to compare it with all of the valor that was possible to experience playing in the National Football League. Take a look at something called SaluteToService.com. That involves the San Antonio-based USAA Insurance Company, which is a major sponsor of American NFL football. And in this particular case, you see that when you look at SaluteToService.com, those basic themes of glorification of war, glorification of involvement in the American military wars is a very disturbing linkage. Finally, during these NFL broadcasts or telecasts yesterday, there was a movie they kept promoting, a movie called Devotion. Take a look at the trailer for this movie, which I will have for Andy for our show description. This movie, which is going to release, I believe, sometime in this month, this movie Devotion gets into the heroism of a couple of guys during the Korean War who were involved in combat aviation, as near as I can tell, and notice some of the racial themes in this movie as well in regard to how this movie is potentially being used to recruit certain types of folks to join up in the American military. I will close by saying that there is an issue that nobody seems to be talking about in the 2022 elections. I've been poring over interviews, poring over polling services of different polling agencies as it regards issues that people that have caused people to vote for one of the two major parties. No one seems to be talking about the overarching theme of global homo. Unbelievably, the near-term character of a possible third world war is simply off of radar in terms of what voters tell these pollsters they voted upon in terms of the candidates that they chose. They talk about inflation. No one's talking about fiat money, the tune of $5.9 trillion being printed and distributed in the American economy in the last 2 years. Cultural Marxism does play a role in certain congressional districts in the country and the way that people are voting. But overall, nationally, in regard to what people say were the reasons for voting Republican or Democratic, these moral and cultural issues don't show up on too many radars in regard to polling services. And last but not least, the demographic revolution in the Western world, both as it relates to border security, which is something that does show up with the pollsters, not only nationally, but obviously particularly here in the state of Texas. And that demographic revolution, of course, is being facilitated big time in terms of the Ukraine war that no one seems to want to talk about in regard to what they tell pollsters has influenced their voting. Take a look at the current crisis demographically for Germany, as they are in the process of apparently receiving and getting ready to receive a tidal wave in Ukrainian immigrants who are headed in their direction. Before we get involved with any further conversation, Paul Edward Stevenson, it's good to have you aboard, my friend.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. I'm listening to what you're saying. It's very important.
Yes. Well, why don't we throw it over to Patrick for some thoughts, and then we'll kick it over to you, Paul. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Good.
Okay, thanks. Patrick, well, I don't want to... Yeah.
No. I wanted to refresh my memory on Friday. Did you say on Friday that did you predict 235 House seats for the Republicans?
Yeah, I'll say 200, at least 236. That would put the Democrats below 200. So I don't want to be too repetitive because I said the same thing on
I wanted to get that in simply because Real Clear Politics has the Republicans taking 228 seats in the House. 54 okay. In the Senate. So it'll be interesting to see how these numbers go. What was your prediction for the Senate? Did you have one? I think we primarily talked about the House.
Well, the Senate's harder because The Senate is where the wild card of fraud comes into play. It doesn't come into play nearly as much in the House of Representatives. And I don't want to be too repetitive, but this is why. What are the avenues of fraud? There may be election machine vote flipping. That type of thing may have been happening. But Sidney Powell and who's the lawyer from Georgia? I forgot his name. His two-syllable name. And then the MyPillow guy. They were concentrating on this. They were going to release a Kraken. They never released the Kraken. And these are boomers who don't know programming. They didn't show the algorithm, so maybe it happened and maybe it didn't, but we don't have the proof. But what was very obvious was the effect of ballot stuffing in the big black neighborhoods in big cities in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. And with the exception of Michigan, those other three states, those are three of the states that are at play in the Senate election. And of course,
just take a look at Pennsylvania, for example. We've already talked about that this morning with some of these articles, but CNN is running a story that some 3,500 ballots mailed in the Philadelphia area are being challenged. So I think that underscores what it is that you're saying, that it's much easier to fix a statewide race, be it a Senate, U.S. Senate race or a statewide U.S. presidential race, than it is a congressional district race for the federal House of Representatives. And I think that's an important point.
Because, just look at Pennsylvania, look at Philadelphia. So Philadelphia, 2 years ago, we had those images of at the canvassing center where they bring all of the votes from the various precincts together and then count them. What were the images? You had the canvas watchers, the Republican and Trump white canvas watchers. They were outside the room trying to look in through windows. And then the black election workers who were, you know, part of the city machinery, the Democrat run city machinery, they were putting up cardboard so that the canvas watchers couldn't see what was going on in the room. And of course, the whole reason that the canvas watchers were outside the room instead of inside the room, and this is the big difference, and I hadn't really thought of it much, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it, was the coronavirus social distancing measures. And the social distancing played a massive factor. So Nevada, for instance, 2 years ago, even before the election, because they had early voting in the election, you know, they had early voting and they had early counting of voting, or at least, you know, certain canvassing. And the Republican Party was complaining that they couldn't get close enough to the election workers to actually see what they were doing. They were kept like 30 feet away because of social distancing. So, and the social distancing isn't going to play a factor now. So it's going to be harder. I'm not saying it's going to be impossible. It's going to be harder to fake. But the thing is, the faking was in these big cities where you've got, especially where you've got all black precincts that have no Republican voters and no Republican election workers, and where ballot stuffing can take place. And ballot stuffing in Philadelphia affects the entire statewide election. Ballot stuffing in Philadelphia does not impact the suburban swing districts, the swing districts, the ones that are really at play here, the 35 or whatever that are really at play, that might switch from, you know, maybe it's going to be 20, because right now the Republicans have about 100 and over 110 seats, and if they go up to 130, that's, you know, a gain of 20. Where are those 20 districts located? They're not in big cities. They're not in the rural areas, which are pretty secure Republican. These are in largely suburban areas where there's Republicans and Democrats who are going to be, you know, watching the canvassing, watching the polling, and ballot stuffing in Philadelphia is not going to impact them. So that's why I say I think you're going to absolutely have a substantial majority for the House of Representatives. The Senate is iffier because that's where the election fraud could come into play. But also, one last thing is, in Pennsylvania, you know, the Republican candidate Dr. Oz isn't the greatest candidate. In Arizona, the candidate Blake Masters may be somebody that we like a lot more. But because he's somebody that we like a lot more, maybe he's a little bit harder sell going against the establishment candidate. So we'll see. The Senate, it could be anywhere from remaining 50-50 or even with maximum fraud, the Democrats picking up one seat. In order for the Republicans to get four seats, have, you know, 54, they would have to win, not just hold onto not just Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, as you mentioned, but they would have to win the currently Democratic controlled seats in Georgia, Arizona, Nevada. Nevada looks pretty safe. But then also, I think New Hampshire is the last one, and those are iffy. So we'll see.
Yes. One other thing I'll mention that comes to us, I don't think I mentioned in the first go around, and then we'll go to Paul. I believe that we go back once again to Real Clear Politics. They are projecting, and this, of course, is not a projection that is universally shared by polling services, but at least Real Clear Politics believes that Republicans will take 31 governors.
Make the world go away. Say, and make the world
Tuesday is Election Day, so let's talk about American elections and democracy. I'm Peter Serafini. This week's Liberty Minute brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system and support Freedom Hearers Foundation. The U.S. Constitution set up our republic so that you and I, the citizens, only voted for our representatives in the House of Representatives. The president is elected by the Electoral College, and each state makes its own rules about how to award those electorates. It wasn't until 1824, 35 years after this process was established, before the first public vote for president was even recorded. The Senate was originally appointed by your state legislators. That changed in 1913 with the 17th Amendment. Senators are now elected by popular vote statewide, like some sort of glorified member of the House of Representatives. Why this basic history lesson? Because we the people need to remember how important our state house really is. It was your state house that called for and ratified the 17th Amendment. And it's been since the 17th Amendment that our federal government has grown out of control and inserted itself in every aspect of our lives. The state-appointed Senate used to protect states' rights and keep the federal government in check. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next week, Sinus Peshem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
And make the world go away.
They are projecting, and this, of course, is not a projection that is universally shared by polling services, but at least Real Clear Politics believes that Republicans will take 31 governorships. So let's keep an eye on those statewide races as well. Paul, what are you to make of all of this, especially in comparison to all of the electoral political stuff that's been going on in Britain? Go ahead, sir.
Does it matter really? How much does it matter if the Republicans take the House or the Senate? I mean, aren't these people all controlled by the same people? You've had Zelensky, you know, appealing to the Republicans because he suspects the worst. The Democratic Party is a euphemism for Jewish power, for sure. But are the Republicans any better? I mean, we have a situation over here now where we have like thousands and thousands of Albanians coming into our country. They're criminals every week. We have a Indian prime minister. I mean, everything is out of control.
Yes. I think your perspective is well taken on this, Paul, and this gets back to something that I buzzed through as you were coming aboard this morning. Kevin McCarthy previews Republicans' plans for the majority starting at the border. If the Republicans become the majority, our future Speaker of the House is telling certain things to CNN. And interestingly enough, he's vowing to secure the border. You go all the way back to Ronald Reagan's first amnesty for illegals, folks, and you look at how many more illegals are in this country now
than were in the United States during the first Reagan administration. This is something that needs to be underscored in terms of how credible that vow may be, where they realize that perhaps they have to shut the border valve off since 2 million more crossed that border in the last year. That is the actual figure, folks. Cut back on government spending. Have we heard that before? As budgets continue to burst, as deficits continue to widen, McCarthy is...
Well, you know, Mark, yeah, there was a potential financial collapse in this country because Liz Truss had the temerity to reduce the British taxpayers' burden by $2.4 billion. But in the same week, she also gave the Ukrainian government $2.5 billion, I think, and the IMF had no problem with this, but they had a problem with the $2.4 billion relief to the British taxpayer.
Exactly. I think you just nailed it, Paul, in terms of the kind of jaundiced eye with which we need to be looking at this American electoral process on promises like securing the border, cutting back on government spending. How many of you folks remember Newt Gingrich and his contract with America in 1994 when the Republicans had the Republicans did so well in those off-year elections after the first couple of years of Bill Clinton? Those of you old enough to remember all of that are probably nodding your heads as Paul and I proceed to get into all of the reasons why the horse may already be 200 yards down the road as the barn door is just now attempting to be closed. McCarthy talks about launching rigorous investigations into the Biden administration. Now, in this particular case, the circumstances of the Afghan withdrawal were one of the things I believe that McCarthy mentioned in this interview. McCarthy also alluded to the fact that there could be a struggle within the Republican Party's majority, if they do get the majority, in regard to whether or not impeaching Biden is going to be a priority. We could get into that one, certainly, in terms of all of the ways in which that could be fraught with peril. But it's in the area of Ukraine that I'm going to read this, especially in light of what Paul has just reminded us of in terms of stuff related to the British government. Listen to what the possibly future Speaker of the House in the Republican Party, if they do get the majority at the end of the day, listen to what he tells CNN about funding for Ukraine. And with the MAGA wing calling to cut off funding to Ukraine, while the GOP's defense hawks vow not to abandon the country amid its war with Russia, McCarthy attempted to reaffirm his support for Ukraine while saying they would not automatically rubber stamp any additional requests for aid. Quote unquote, "I'm very supportive of Ukraine," McCarthy said. "I think that there has to be accountability going forward. You always need not a blank check, but make sure the resources are going to where it is needed and make sure Congress and the Senate have the ability to debate it openly," unquote. Two things I would say, folks. This entire policy that the United States has been pursuing in Ukraine from 2004 onward, with the first color revolution and then the illegal coup d'etat February 2014 in Kiev, an illegal coup d'etat facilitated by Barack Obama, Victoria Nuland, Hillary Clinton and company, and Joe Biden. That's where all of the things that have culminated in the events just since February 24th of this year. That was the beginning point, real beginning point in February of 2014. All of the other things McCarthy doesn't talk about in terms of the amounts of money being involved in this, the $65 billion that the United States has pumped into Zelensky. Some of that's military aid. Some of it is just, buy some additional.
It's more than that, Martin.
Well, it's going.
I think it's closer to $90 billion, probably. Lonely.
Anytime you're feeling blue.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
65 billion that the United States has pumped into Zelensky. Some of that's military aid. Some of it is just, buying some additional.
It's more than that, Mark. Well, I think it's closer to 90 billion, probably.
Is it? Well, I know that the figures I've seen. We could go with either figure. I do know that the Democrats have said that if they do lose the House, and if they should lose the Senate, they are nonetheless going to fast track another 50 billion for Zelensky. So the last figure I have seen is 65 billion. God help us if it's as high as 90 billion. But the point is, folks, in terms of looking at all of these allocations in regard to problems existing domestically in the United States, the complete bankruptcy of this globo homo Ziocon foreign policy of the United States in Ukraine and elsewhere, are we really going to take a closer look at how many Republicans voted for these monies in both the existing House and the existing Senate? I think we would find very, very quickly that there was an awful lot of GOP support for pouring these amounts of money into that country.
Yeah, it's a complete money laundering exercise. It's just like, okay, some of it's gone to the weapons manufacturers, some of it's gone to some politicians, and there's millionaires in Ukraine who have become billionaires, and that's what it's all about. It's a complete scam, the whole thing. And you have millions, well, not millions, but you have hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian soldiers who are dying. And the West tells us we care about the Ukrainians. I've seen footage. I've seen footage of, you know, I don't know. Do you understand the terrain in Ukraine? Do you understand what it's like there?
In terms of Donbass, and in terms of a lot of open territory west of Donbass getting toward Kiev, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, it's a completely open territory. You understand? It's like wide open land. Okay, it's not like Vietnam, or there's no mountains like Afghanistan. Okay, so
yes,
the Ukrainians are being pushed out into wide open territory, and the Russians are just slaughtering them.
And to underscore what you're talking about, Paul, if we look at RT today, I believe that story is still up at RT. I believe Press Television Iran might have carried it too. The European governments are talking about buying, both for themselves and for Ukraine. I believe the figure is another $230 billion worth of weaponry from American arms, predominantly American arms manufacturers. So, I mean, you start getting into these numbers that are utterly staggering, and you start looking at these casualty figures, folks, and I think it's safe to say that just quoting the figures coming out of Shoigu and the Russian Ministry of Defense and comparing those numbers with what Zelensky is trying to achieve in terms of the latest call-up of another 100,000, where he's going to get these people, I don't know, but another 100,000 in Ukraine. The last time I have seen what seemed to be credible numbers on Ukrainian casualties, you had, something like 110,000 casualties, of which maybe 100,000, I'm thinking about 150,000 casualties, maybe 100,000 of those dead. Does that coincide with what you've seen, Paul?
Yeah, they're all going to die. I mean, Putin has made it very clear. He tried for years for diplomacy, and in the absence of the diplomacy, which is absent, he will destroy Ukraine. He will not allow Ukraine to be a threat to the Russian Federation. So one way or another, Ukraine is going to be destroyed. It will be either gobbled up by even more Russian territory in a very bold way. Maybe Putin will take over all of Ukraine and maybe leave the west of Ukraine, Kiev, maybe make some deal with the Poles. I don't know. That would be problematical with Belarus. But Ukraine is not going to exist in 6 months. It's not going to exist as a state. It will be destroyed. Because Russia sees rightly Ukraine as a direct threat to the Russian Federation, and Putin and his military generals, who thought Putin was too restrained with his limited operation in the first place, now he understands that the West do not want negotiations. And when the winter freezes, Ukraine is going to be obliterated. It won't exist in 3 months. That's the reality. It's a sad reality. A lot of people are going to die. But that's the way it's going to be, because that's geopolitical reality. And Vladimir Putin, I think, was it Mark that you spoke about Vladimir Putin's promise to restore Russia and maybe the rest of Europe? Did you talk about that?
It's possible, but yes.
Yeah. So, you know, Vladimir Putin is not going to allow Ukraine to destroy Russia. If it means World War III, maybe. But, you know, Russia, I think, will destroy the Americans. What are they going to send in? A bunch of homosexuals and some people from Poland who are overambitious, and some people from Romania. No one in Europe wants this war. You know, in Germany, in France, in the UK, none of our people want this war. This is like a war negotiated by a few Jews and those who they bought and paid for. That's it. So good luck to them. But if they send in the American troops, and now the British got a target on their back because we have perpetrated the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, we shouldn't be going to war with Russia. We should be going to war with the United States. You understand?
Yes, I certainly do. And I think both with the evidence that is out there now on British involvement in Nord Stream 1 and 2, British involvement that they would not possibly have risked without consulting, of course, with the Biden administration. And then, of course, you're looking at the terrorism that took place on the Kerch Bridge in the whole issue of the Dugina assassination and the whole business of these ongoing attempts to bomb the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. I mean, the truly amazing thing to me, and I want to ask you about this, Paul, and also ask Patrick about this, with the obvious horror of the situation in Ukraine itself in terms of what's being done in that country and to that country, and then when you add to it the fact that Shoigu mentioned just the other day that the United States has deployed another in NATO have deployed another 30,000 troops on Russian borders. I believe I saw a figure of about 12,000 of these in Poland. And then, of course, all of this talk about more heavy weaponry going into Ukraine at the same time that the Europeans are saying that they want to purchase anywhere between $230 and $250 billion in additional hardware for themselves as well from these predominantly American arms manufacturers. Why is it that at least in the United States, now I've seen plenty of evidence of in the street activism protesting the direction that things are going in with Western policies toward Ukraine. I see demonstrations in Italy, demonstrations in Germany, demonstrations in Austria, I believe France. Why is it that, first of all, in the United States, we haven't seen any of that, any appreciable amount of that? Certainly not in comparison to the Vietnam, anti-Vietnam demonstrations of the late 60s in the United States. The polling services indicate that the Ukrainian war is not even on the radar with the average American voter, regardless of what particular party he or she favors in these off-year elections. Why do you think that is?
Because America is a big place. I think 5% of Americans have a passport. America is a very unique place. It's like your average American thinks that the world is basically America. You understand? So they don't focus on what's happening on Europe or in Afghanistan or around the world. They don't care. And why should they? You know, they've got their own problems. They've got inflation. They've got their families to care about. So you have this issue in America where your average American is not really aware of what the government is doing in terms of its foreign policy, interfering in stuff that it has no business in. It's ironic because America is so self-contained. It has everything. And the people of America know this, and they have, 200 years of experience. They have all the food, all the heating, all everything they need. And yet, you have America, the government who controls America, which is controlled by Jews. And I spoke to Patrick about this.
Yes.
Because this is the America was the perfect place for Jews to, infiltrate because they cut off the Americans from their history, which is a European history, and the European history of and you'll understand this. You're a Christian. The European history is a history of war between the synagogue and the ecclesia, which is a church. Okay, so now you have a situation where you have America cut off from its history, and. And they don't know anything, and they don't care about anything because they have everything. But the Jew remembers everything, and he controls the State Department and the U.S. government, and he's running around, waging wars about vendettas and about his history. And they hate Russia because of the rise of the Orthodox Church. That's a big part of it. So, people need to get educated in America about what's really going on because it's just reality, understand?
Yes. And, a classic example of this, and I believe that at least I mentioned this issue in the show that I did with Patrick on Friday. Take a look, folks, and when Andy and I get together again on the air, I want to cover this maybe in a little bit more detail. You have a Maryland Democrat in the 8th Congressional District in Maryland, Jamie Raskin. He's a Jew. He's on the far left of all of these social issues in the Democratic Party. I have in my own studio screen, and it's on Raskin's own House of Representatives website, his statement on Pride Month in recognition of LGBTQ and so forth and so on. And yet, his recent statements on Russia, Tucker Carlson covered this on Fox. I have since been following up to research Mr. Raskin a little bit more. Raskin actually suggests that we need to continue supporting Ukraine with all of these monstrous economic figures in the what is essentially could be, I think, fairly read as a largely Jewish war against cultural Christianity in Russia and the revival of the Russian Orthodox Church.
Right.
That on that issue alone, Raskin believes that American interventionism right now, of course, it's been staggering sums of money. Alexander Mercuris over at the Duran had a disturbing but very effective video yesterday, I believe, or a couple days ago, where he was talking about the parallels between what we are doing in Ukraine in the initial stages and what we were doing in Vietnam. In a less dangerous situation, but nonetheless, the progression from point A to point B to point C seems strikingly the same.
Yeah.
But in terms of this whole business of Raskin and the culturally Marxist wing of the Democratic Party, the notion that the United States should be involved in a war using a surrogate or even becoming more directly involved itself with another country because that country does not recognize the LGBTQ agenda is one of the most outlandish things I believe I've ever read. Patrick, what do you think on that one?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so it would have been nice if, I mean, Tucker described this as a jihad against Russian Orthodoxy, which is fine as far as it goes. But what he neglected to say was that Jamie Raskin is a Jew, and it's a Jewish jihad. It's not a Muslim jihad, or it's not a secular jihad. It is a Jewish. That would have been nice. And I want, you know, Paul gave some reasons why Americans don't demonstrate, and those are all extremely valid. One other thing regarding this particular war, why you're not getting demonstrations against it. Well, in contrast to Vietnam, in contrast to the Gulf War or the Iraq War, you know, the Democrats are all for this war. All the war funding has been voted on unanimously by Democrats. I don't think there's been a single.
Well, they were initially in Vietnam. That was the point that Alexander was making initially.
He did miss. There were two senators. The only two senators who. There was only two people in all of Congress who voted against the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. That was Wayne Morris, who was a Democrat from Oregon.
Yes.
And not Fulbright, but the other Democrat from Arkansas. Those were the only two. They were both Democrats. So there was some, but it was a good point. But the Democrats did turn against it. You had people like Eugene McCarthy come out, certainly by, you know, 67. But at any rate, the Democrats are all for this. And the Democrats are much more likely to demonstrate, partly because they are the urban party. They're the urban party. And where are Republicans going to demonstrate, especially if they're demonstrating against policies that the Republicans that the Democrats support? Where are they going to demonstrate? Are they going to go into the cities and subject themselves to the abuse, the kind of abuse that the alt-right people subjected themselves to in Charlottesville, for instance? So that's one other thing. And then lastly, regarding, you know, the importance of a Republican victory tomorrow, obviously there's not going to be big changes on a lot of important things. But still, I would vote for anybody who promises not to throw me in prison for my politics. Right. And I do think that that might be at least what we can get out of the Republicans, is not being thrown in prison for our politics and maybe a little bit less censorship. And so it's simply a better operating environment for us, not that they're going to really deliver anything for us.
Yes, I agree with that. And I also think the necessity of a wholesale rejection of Bidenism, which is the way this election, I believe, would be interpreted if you had a clear-cut Republican takeover of both the House and the Senate. That would definitely be of some degree of value. At the same time, having said that, I think that whether we are looking at spending or debt or the issue of this obscene obsession with Putin's Russia, this whole question of perhaps an Israeli jihad on Iran, we now have, unbelievably, folks, a key aide Volodymyr Zelensky's, this guy's last name is Podolyak, I believe, who is calling for an attack on Iran.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hounds couldn't catch them down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Volodymyr Zelensky's, this guy's last name is Podolyak, I believe, who is calling for an attack on Iran. Because they admitted that before the war started, they supplied the Russians with a few drones, no missiles, but a few drones. This, it seems to me, is where
Mark,
there is an opportunity to reject all of this. And yet,
Mark,
the voters don't seem to be getting it. Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
How do you explain to the average American person the involvement in Ukraine? I mean, there is no explanation for this. I mean, Ukraine is not even a member of NATO. It's not a member of the EU.
Yes.
If you don't understand the Jewish history of this country, you
exactly.
don't understand why this war is happening. I mean, this is an ancient resentment. Everything that that the American government does is dominated by Jewish resentment and retaliation for what they perceive as anti-Semitism in history. I mean, these people. Basically, what they did was they secularized America and they secularized Britain so they could detach their history from Europe in one century. And that's what they've done. And since then, all they've done is go around creating wars, killing people, killing white people, flooding Europe with immigrants. I mean, these people are a total wrecking ball and it's intolerable.
Yes, and I think you're absolutely right on that, Paul. And I remember one day on one of these shows, I raised what I think is a question that will resonate with you. And for people listening to this show today on Election Day, how is it, folks, that we have a Zionist Jew as the president of an Orthodox country who is at war with another Orthodox country? And that where there are so many historic links between Ukraine and Russia. How is it that a Jew becomes the president of an Orthodox country and pursues policies that are guaranteed and that did guarantee a war with another Orthodox country? And I think that begs the question of how this was done in relationship to how it was done on a far earlier basis, both in Europe and in the United States. I think you're exactly on target here, Paul. There are simply too many things, and again, this Jamie Raskin thing, this radical Jew, I guess whose roots are originally in Russia, according to what I read, that you have this radical leftist Jew, Maryland 8th Congressional District, who is suggesting that a war with Russia, surrogate or otherwise, is absolutely essential because they're not on board with the LGBTQ agenda because the Russian Orthodox Church affirms "quote unquote" traditional values.
Yeah, they're terrified of the Russian Orthodox Church. If you know their history, that's why they overthrew the Tsar. I was talking to Patrick yesterday. Tucker Carlson covered it. Probably Jewish moron in America had the audacity to say that the rise of the Orthodox Church in Russia was a problem. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's not even like trying to end. You understand? It's a Christian country, apparently, America. You know,
gentlemen, I've got to bail out. I'm at the end of my time, and I want to thank you all for joining me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ezoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.